The Truth News Network. Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
That introduction was very interesting and very applicable to today's subject. We're titling today's story, Anonymous Politispeak. Anonymous Politispeak. No, this is not a case of an attack on free speech. Remember that old saying regarding the freedom to say anything in America? You can say anything, but you cannot cry fire in a crowded theater. Remember that? Well, I think we're getting to that point in Politispeak today. Let me explain. Attorney Lanny Davis says he was an anonymous source in a July CNN story that reported his client, Michael Cohen, had privately claimed that President Trump had advanced knowledge of that infamous Trump Tower meeting between his son, Donald Jr., and Russians, contradicting Davis's own words on CNN's air last week. Davis, Michael Cohen's lawyer and spokesperson, said he also regrets lying about his involvement in the story on CNN last week. Now, Lanny Davis, you may know this, is a well-known attorney who for decades has kept close ties to the Clintons. He has been the media go-to guy for both Bill and Hillary throughout Bill's two terms as president and Hillary's term as New York senator and as Obama's Secretary of State. Davis, a staunch Democrat, has appeared often on Fox News on the Sean Hannity show. Hannity has maintained an amicable friendship with the Clinton sycophant, and their on-air banter has become commonplace when Davis is on his show. But this latest from Davis has exposed the dangers of anonymous sourcing for news stories of every kind. It's time to take a look at this practice, its purposes, and its dangers. And, at least in the opinion of this journalist, it's time to make some changes. The essence of free speech. In a nutshell, here is the core and the guarantee of free speech. From the First Amendment, it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Heretofore, this amendment has been broadly defined as it pertains to the media, allowing members of the media to say anything, claim anything, quote, anyone named or unnamed, without any accountability for the truthfulness of what any source states as fact that these media sources report. Further, members of the media have had no accountability for what they say or write, being truthful or not, nor is there any requirement for the media to divulge who these anonymous or unnamed sources are. But does the guarantee put into the First Amendment grant any American the right to lie without any accountability for doing so? That's the question driving today's discussion here at the Truth News Network. What does the Constitution actually guarantee? Well, let's make one thing perfectly clear. No one here is a constitutional attorney. I'm not even an attorney. But everyone here has the ability to think reasonably through topics such as this. It makes no sense for anyone to be allowed to purposefully tell lies, shield unverified sources who provide unverified information that could, because of their being reported to the world as they are today, every day, damage national security, purposely defame individuals, impact financial markets, and even affect election results? That may seem to be a bit over the top, but it really isn't. In today's 24/7 news cycle environment, in which anyone and everyone has instant access to news, how can any person believe what is being reported? Think about it. No reporter is required to tell the truth. No reporter is required to disclose sources of what they report. No reporter is required to verify that the content obtained from sources is accurate. Heretofore, journalists have had carte blanche to say anything they so choose, quote, anonymous sources, and can even make up stories and report those to the world, even knowing that their content is either false or unknown and verified to be truthful. And in the case mentioned above of Lanny Davis, he not only made up, or really lied, about the news he presented, he lied about the source. He said it was an unnamed source. He was actually the source reporting that fake news. Well, what types of speech are not protected by the Constitution, or are they? Scholars will agree and disagree on that, but most will agree the following categories are not constitutionally protected under the First Amendment. Obscenity, fighting words, defamation, including libel and slander, child pornography, perjury, blackmail, incitement to imminent lawless action, true threats, solicitations to commit crimes, and plagiarism is also not protected under free speech. But the one thing that has become glaringly obvious during the 2016 election cycle and since is that truth in reporting is missing. Should untruthful, non-factual reporting be added to that not protected list? Shouldn't the general public have a right to receive accurate information from the press? Is it unreasonable to feel that purposeful untruth in reporting should bring some accountability to those who are guilty of that? Should there not be some price to pay for the media lying to Americans? Members of the media would say, hey, we police ourselves. The Society of Professional Journalists has published a handbook for journalists to use as a template for preparation and reporting of news. The handbook addresses the issue in a very curious way. And we're going to look at that and a whole lot more. This is getting deep and it's getting better. Sit tight. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network.
If your toddler falls in the pool, you think you'll hear this. But what you'll really hear is this. It happens quickly and silently. About 260 children younger than 5 drown in pools each year. That's about 1 nursery school class each month. Put a fence around your pool. Place an alarm on doors leading to the pool area. For more pool safety tips, visit the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission website at cpsc.gov.
To celebrate 40 years of karaoke, Subway and Coke bring you the Sweet Onion Chicken Teriyaki Deal. Take it away!
Sweet Onion Chicken Teriyaki. And an ice cold Coke, too. You know it only costs $2.99. My, that price makes it taste super fine.
For a chance to win £1,000 or even sing our next ad, go to valueworthsinginabout.com. Subway, eat fresh. Participation and prices may vary.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
And that's very topical today because we are talking about truth in reporting, especially regarding unnamed sources or anonymous sources. When we took a break there, we mentioned the Society of Professional Journalists. They have published a handbook that journalists are supposed to use when preparing and reporting their news. It states this, quote, "Ethical journalism should be accurate and fair. Journalists should be honest and courageous in gathering, reporting, and interpreting information. Journalists should take responsibility for the accuracy of their work, verify information before releasing it, use original sources whenever possible." I agree. That's what they should do. Regarding the controversial policy of using anonymous sources in news reports, a practice I personally detest, NPR, the National Public Radio Network, offers this about their reporting. They ask this: is the source credible, reliable, and knowledgeable? And they answer it this way: we use information from anonymous sources to tell important stories that otherwise would go unreported. This is not a solo decision. The editors and producers of these stories must be satisfied that the source is credible and reliable, and that there is a substantial journalistic justification for using the source's information without attribution. This requires both deciding whether it is editorially justified to let the person speak anonymously and being satisfied that this person is who the piece says he is and is in a position to know about what he's revealing. We should never be in the position of having to verify these things after a story has been broadcast or published. You know what? That really sounds good. Or at least it sounds a bit more reasonable, with one big if. If those in the verification loop are credible and honest themselves. But NPR continued to justify their use of anonymous sources with the following disclaimer, quote, "In our coverage, anonymous or unnamed sources generally cannot make pejorative comments about the character, reputation, or personal qualities of another individual, or derogatory statements about an institution. We don't use such material in our stories, with rare exceptions. If an individual is blowing the whistle on significant misdeeds or making an allegation of sexual assault, we may decide to air the person's claims." Well, generally cannot make. That's in the disclaimer. Generally cannot make. That leaves an opening for allowing some, and again I quote them, "pejorative comments about the character, reputation, or personal qualities of another individual or derogatory statements about an institution." What NPR is doing with the disclaimer is stating that sometime someone, like an editor, may feel that it is okay to allow this very thing to happen. So what if that editor has an axe to grind with, say, President of the United States, or they have severe policy differences, or they don't like what the president stands for or doesn't stand for? Isn't this like the inmates running the prison? The ridiculousness of this NPR position is best illustrated with this. Say you hire an attorney, and in the course of that attorney's representation of you in court, he or she commits an egregious act that cost you, literally, in a very serious way. That cost is directly attributable to that attorney's actions. How can you take action to defray any losses you may incur? Your only recourse for damages is to either file a complaint with a bar association in which that attorney is associated, or to file a lawsuit against the attorney. Who really thinks the complainant will receive fairness in the results of such a complaint to the bar association? And, oh, by the way, good luck filing a suit against a lawyer, too. What lawyer wants to represent you in a suit against another lawyer? And what judge is going to be lenient on a fellow lawyer? Lawyers policing lawyers will almost certainly not result in fairness for the complainant. Editors and publishers policing their own reporters in no way guarantees truth in their reporters' stories. And it's ludicrous to think that that's going to happen. Unnamed sources, is it good or bad? Well, reporters will argue vehemently for their ability to ferret out stories using anonymous or unnamed sources for certain ones. The claim is that many investigative stories that reveal wrongdoing by many powerful individuals in the private sector and in government would never see the light of day without the ability to give sources cover for their identity. But there certainly should be some avenue to protect Americans from juicy stories based on unverified sources when those sources give up untrue information, or in those cases in which there is really no source at all, like in the Lanny Davis story. Let's be honest. In this vitriolic political state in which we live, almost daily we discover that some story quoting anonymous or unnamed sources was actually fake news. That's the primary reason Americans are growing to distrust the media more and more each day, and why the favorability rating of the media is actually lower than that of members of Congress. Who thought that would ever even be possible? Is there not a way to legislatively create accountability through federal law for the media creating and reporting fake news? Think about it. There certainly is a process to protect the identities of legitimate news sources while holding them and the media who report that news they provide accountable for its veracity. Obviously, there are going to be those that go crazy when they hear this or read this that I'm saying. They're going to viciously attack such a thought, stating that it would prevent the exposure of illegal and unethical actions by leaders, members of government, even important titans of industry in the private sector that are critical to the political and free enterprise systems. How could such a system work without diluting the information system or keeping legitimate information hidden from sight? Let's try this. Think about this. Set up a National Journalism Integrity Fund that would underwrite the cost of a journalist verification process to assure Americans news is truthful and nothing more. Could such a system work? How would such a system work? If structured and operated properly, it could lift the cloud of distrust that covers every aspect of American media today without losing legitimate news sources, named or unnamed. It could work. Why not have the United States Supreme Court supervise a media verification division that would simply be always on call to verify truthfulness in news? How could they do that? Well, here's one suggestion. A random system could be structured for members of this division to audit sources of news stories. Those only quoting unnamed or anonymous stories. That would require each news outlet to keep, in some secure setting, complete records of unnamed or anonymous sources for that division to verify on a random basis. Criminal penalties would result from those media entities and persons who violated the terms of the law governing the process. Congress would have to pass a law. Civil penalties would result from cases uncovered with these random investigations for instances of abuse of stories based on anonymous or unnamed sources that still are bad, but they don't break the law. Complete confidentiality would be absolutely necessary, and criminal penalties for violation of that confidentiality should be included in the governing law and be very severe. How should such a law be worded? Well, Congress is full of attorneys. I think that a group of attorneys comprised of free speech advocates and those who push for protection of Americans against untruthful news could together draft legislation that would protect press rights afforded under the First Amendment while protecting against news based on unnamed sources that are fake. Here's the bottom line for me, a journalist. I don't want to stifle the truth unearthed by reporters in every area by intimidating sources in any way if we are assured those sources will be verifiable and accountable for provided information. Reporters could, in this suggested process, continue their practice of writing and broadcasting stories quoting those unnamed sources. The difference would be that this division would always have the right to secretly, confidentially verify the unnamed sources and to verify the information provided. Only when a story is published that uses unnamed or anonymous sources, Americans would know that there would be accountability against fake news, and we could listen to every news story without worrying about it being truthful or untruthful. Wouldn't that be pleasant for a change? Of course, penalties for violating this process by a news organization, reporters, and sources who lie would certainly have to be significant. After all, the reason for the process would be to not stop reporting uses those unnamed or anonymous sources, but for Americans to feel comfortable that news stories will be based on truthful information. And unlike today, lying in stories or making them up will cost the perpetrator significantly. Accountability, just like your kids. We tell the kids, don't do this or don't do that. And if we don't hold them accountable, they're going to continue to do it with impunity, knowing there's no price to pay. Lanny Davis lied about a story that purportedly came to him from an unnamed source. That's what he said. Not only did he lie about the actual story, he made that story up. He also lied about the source. He was the source. Imagine if Davis, who was an attorney, was fined $100,000 or 2 years in jail or both for each of those two violations. Certainly, he would lose his license to practice law. He could obviously reapply for his license at a later date. If this law was in place, this system was in place, do you think Lanny would have released that fake news if he knew he was facing a possible $100,000 fine or 2 years in jail times two? I don't think Lanny would have taken that chance. I don't believe any real reporter or person reporting stories would take that chance. And it would not quell the use of anonymous or unnamed sources, but it would make everybody, including reporters, editors, and the general public, comfortable that the news they were hearing or reading or seeing was truthful. I don't think that's too much to ask. Hey, that's going to do it for today's chapter of the Truth News Network. Anonymous, unnamed sources. We need to continue to use them, but there's got to be accountability for all. Thank you for joining us here. Thanks for being here every day. We don't take you for granted. And we'll be back tomorrow at the Truth News Network. So long, everybody.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about.
This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.